turn everything I love about her into the one thing she'll love forever. An engagement ring.
It's the Jared Valentine's Day Diamond Event, February 1st through the 14th. Save up to $1,000 off any diamond when you buy her setting at Jared. And let our expert jewelers help you find or create the one ring that could only be for her. That's why he went to Jared. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
All right, we have action at the racetrack from Daytona this weekend. Daytona 500 qualifying. That sets the front row for the Great American Race, as well as the starting lineups for next week's duels. That's going down on Thursday. But for qualifying, check it out Sunday, 12:15 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Then you've got the 40th annual Advanced Auto Parts Clash. So let's see if your favorite drivers are actually eligible for that exhibition race. The 2017 pole sitters are Ryan Blaney, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Martin Truex Jr. Also, Daytona 500 past pole sitters are Austin Dillon and Jimmy Johnson. And rounding out the list are the remainder of the 2017 playoff drivers, Casey Kane, Jamie McMurray, and Ryan Newman. It's a 75-lap, 187.5-mile event. It's going down Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Where does Ricky Stenhouse Jr. fall in the whole veterans versus rookie situation?
Stuck in the middle when it comes to younger, super veteran drivers. But being able to race against Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, you know, Carl Edwards, Kevin Harvick down in the Xfinity Series, man, I learned so much. And when, you know, we're winning week in and week out on the Xfinity Series, look forward to racing everybody on Sunday. And then you get there and it's definitely a lot tougher than you thought it was going to be.
Final lap.
DirecTV Now presents Don't Be Frustrated with Michael B. Jordan.
Hey, man.
Oh, hi, Mike.
What are you doing?
I'm just banging my head against the wall over and over again.
Why?
Because I've got cable, and it's so frustrating. I have to wait hours for the cable guy. Now I have this big, ugly cable box.
You know you should just get DirecTV Now.
Okay.
It's live TV you can stream on any screen. No cable guy, no cable box.
Really? That's amazing. Now I won't have to bang my head against the wall anymore.
Nope. Now you can watch on your phone, tablet, or TV while you bang your head against something softer, like this pillow. The squeaky toy. This loaf of bread. This bicycle horn.
Fun.
This whoopee cushion. This potato. Who doesn't love mashed potatoes?
Try DirecTV Now for $10 a month for 3 months. No satellite needed.
Use code YESNOW3 at DirecTVNOW.com. Limited time. Compatible device required and sold separately. Price after instant discount on $35 a month package. Renews monthly at full price unless canceled. Prices may change. New subscribers only. Cancel anytime. Restrictions apply. Details at DirecTVNOW.com.
5:06, welcome back and welcome to hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. It is drive time, driven by Linder Tire. You can check them out in person in Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City, or go to lindertire.com, where you can find some outstanding coupons right now that will save you a total of $40 off a set of four Nokian tires. Again, available, lindertire.com. Drive time, driven by Linder Tire. Going to kick off in just a few minutes with Love It or Leave It. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Bobby Legess from thelandof10.com stops by to talk about Iowa basketball and football with us. We'll also, within this hour, hear from the man of the hour, Iowa State quarterback Kyle Kemp, who today was told by the NCAA that he's going to get that sixth year of eligibility. That's actually our poll question today. Did the NCAA make the right call in granting Kemp a sixth year of eligibility? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot, the sponsor for the poll question. We've got Kyle readying that Kyle Kemp audio right now. Needless to say, he was a little bit surprised. And the subject of Kyle Kemp getting a sixth year of eligibility may or may not lead off Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Alex, Kyle Kemp is the guy.
Iowa State fans, I'm going to leave this. I watched this team play last year, and I think that Kyle Kemp was a phenomenal story. Borrowing a word from the the Fran McCaffrey vocabulary there for a second. But great story all around. He comes in, he stabilizes this team that looked like they were headed in an all-too-familiar direction after a loss to Texas and losing Jacob Park, their quarterback. And it just looked like things were going to spiral out of control as they had to go on the road and take on Oklahoma. He leads them to victory and was serviceable all season long in leading Iowa State to an 8-win year. But the reason I leave this is because of the confidence that I have in the roster that Matt Campbell has built and that Matt Campbell is going to continue to build. And when you start a rebuild and you start to see the fruits of your labor, or the fruits of the labor being put on display, you have to, when the winning begins, you look 4 years down the line and you realize that the team that you have 4 years down the line is a lot better than the team that you started with talent-wise. And those guys who started the culture of winning began that culture, but they're not quite up to snuff talent-wise with the guys that are 4 years down the line continuing on that success. And I think that Zeb Nolan, the quarterback who came in and performed admirably, is a much more talented quarterback than Kyle Kemp is. And I think that offensively, Iowa State was kind of missing that playmaker at quarterback. I thought the wide receivers and Allen Lazard and Hakeem Butler bailed him out quite a bit, and I think David Montgomery did as well. And as this offense continues to progress, I think that more and more they're going to need a difference maker at that quarterback position, and I think that Matt Campbell has a couple guys in mind, whether it's Zeb Nolan, whether it's Real Mitchell, and whether it's Brock Purdy a couple years down the line. If he feels like he has the guy that is going to lead this program and has a leg up talent-wise and can make good decisions and not put his team in harm's way, he's going to make that decision no matter how good of a story Kyle Kemp is. So I'm going to leave this.
Number two.
Far from down and out.
I'm going to love this. That was the reaction that I thought I would see on the faces of the Iowa players after the Michigan State loss on Tuesday night. But lo and behold, I made my way down to the postgame interview room after Tom Izzo and Fran McCaffrey were done speaking to the media. And the guys, I don't want to say they were upbeat, but they were far from a team that I would have penciled in five losses in a row. I thought, man, you get beat terribly by Penn State, and then you come back and you've got Michigan State on the ropes and they wind up finding a way to win that game. That's going to be it for this season. These guys are going to pack it in. They know they're not going anywhere. I was pleasantly surprised, and I know I said this Wednesday on the program. I'm going to say it again. The way that the players were carrying themselves out of that game, you could tell that they still believe in themselves. They know that the obstacles in front of them are too long, most likely, to reach the postseason. But I think they're going to continue to fight down the stretch. They may not win tomorrow against Ohio State. That's a tough place to go and play a top 15 team, well-coached, very talented team. But I'm convinced, and I wasn't up until Tuesday night, that Iowa is not going to pack it in. Again, they may not win many of these five remaining games, six if you count the Big Ten tournament. But I think they're going to give their opponents their best effort each time out. That's all you can ask for at this point.
Number three.
I would have called this vocabulary in a nod to Baby First TV, but Alex has it labeled as CSU's costly missteps.
Todd, do you remember when we had Paul Shirley, the former Iowa State?
He was schlepping his book.
He was. Yep. And you asked him a question about what the biggest difference was in Coach Tim Floyd, who he played under for, I think, 2 years.
And I do remember this.
Can we replay this? Here, let's replay Paul Shirley's response to Todd's question on the biggest differences between Tim Floyd and Larry Eustachy.
The biggest difference is that I talk to Coach Floyd every couple of weeks now, and I haven't spoken to Larry Eustachy in 10 years. It's always tricky to talk about Larry Station because I think Iowa State fans, and on your side of the state, people maybe don't necessarily get too sensitive about this, but Iowa State fans don't necessarily want to hear you be in any way ungrateful. It has been nice that since Eustace left Iowa State, there have been, you know, this has been a repeated pattern of his of being pretty rough on human beings. So it makes it a little easier to talk about, like, we were a really successful basketball program, but it was destroyed by dysfunction within the coaching staff. And I'm not sure that someone who was the age that we were should have been exposed to that.
That tells the story of what has been a winning yet troubled coaching career for Larry Eustace, dating all the way back to, that would have been 2000 and 2001, where Paul Shirley played under Larry Eustace at Iowa State. Like Todd said, he leaves Iowa State after unceremoniously having to been ousted for photos that surfaced in the Des Moines Register on the campus of the University of Missouri. He goes to Southern Miss. He revives his career. But all along, after he heads from Southern Miss to Colorado State, this was not something that was at all held private. His demeanor on the sideline. He, like Todd said earlier, this is something that he admits to. And when Colorado State in 2013 and 2014 opened an investigation and basically said, "Oh, we'll make you go to anger management, and we'll make you we'll put a zero tolerance plan in place," that was, I think, the first red flag that something was, that this was not going to end well, because of course a guy who for 20 plus years behaved a certain way, that's not, people don't change. And when I think the biggest misstep in this entire report is that Colorado State athletic department officials put him on administrative leave, and the players on Colorado State's basketball team had to find out that Larry Eustace was being fired through the media. And it has gotten to the point where the players have boycotted practice and did not show up to practice yesterday because they were, as far as they knew, Larry Eustace was going to remain the head coach after being put on administrative leave just about a week ago. So I think that the athletic department's handling of this is a way bigger story than the fact that a coach who had repeated issues with his demeanor is being fired for his demeanor. Of course he is. So Colorado State's costly missteps, I leave this.
Number four.
All right, Todd, 600.
600, that could be Mark Carlson tonight. Mr. 600, the head coach of the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders, 599 career wins going into battle tonight against Des Moines. They're also on the road tomorrow at Young Arena in Waterloo, where they will play the Blackhawks. Win either one of those, Mark Carlson has 600 wins. Only one other coach in the USHL has more than 600 career wins. Mark Carlson has been with the Rough Riders every step of the way since the team came to Cedar Rapids back in the late 90s. And he's a great guy, a great coach, and I'm going to love this, love it 10 times over. Hopefully, he can get the – it'd be nice to see him do it at home, but unfortunately, the schedule isn't going to help them out unless they go 0-2 this weekend, and nobody wants to see that happen. But Mark Carlson has a chance to win 600 games all with the Rough Riders. That's a heck of an accomplishment.
Number five.
Alex, avoiding hyperbole with Joe Wieskamp.
Todd, I've been forced down the rabbit hole a couple of times after hearing a Fran McCaffrey press conference talking about his future players, whether it was the comparison of Luka Garza to Kevin McHale or the Tyler Cook hyperbole and going back to Adam Woodbury and Mike Cassell, not to say that those guys aren't great players, but the point that I'm getting at with Joe Wieskamp is I've seen this kid play with my own two eyes. And to me, he's, in my time, which is a small sample size, but I've seen plenty of Division I basketball recruits come through the state of Iowa these past three seasons. But Joe Wieskamp is better than all of them. And it's by a sizable margin. And he is exactly what this program needs, a wing player that can stretch the floor with his size and can shoot and has a smooth stroke and can take some pressure off of Jordan Bohannon. But I just can't sit here and expect him to come in and be that kind of guy right away. And I've learned in the past that there's a learning curve for pretty much any freshman that comes in, no matter whether they're the number one ranked recruit in the country or not. With Joe Wieskamp, a top 100 player out of Muscatine, he is going to be a great player. I think he has a chance to be one of the all-time great players in Iowa history based on what I've seen. But to put that kind of expectations on a guy who has not played a single college basketball game, I refuse to do it. So I love this. I'm going to avoid the hyperbole when talking about him.
Number six.
Simpsons did it.
Simpsons did it. A very memorable episode of South Park. We've seen teams try to keep Chicago sports fans out of their arena before. The Nashville Predators have been famous for this in trying to limit sales of their tickets to folks who are from the state of Tennessee. Well, somebody is doing what's already been done before, which was the genesis of the Simpsons Did It episode. The Milwaukee Brewers put tickets on sale today for their games, and for games that feature the Chicago Cubs, they were only going to sell tickets to people from the state of Wisconsin. They probably should have looked at how successful this was for Nashville, and then they probably should have looked and realized that despite the fact they're located in Wisconsin and the Cubs are in Illinois, there are still plenty of Cubs fans that reside in and around Milwaukee. I have a feeling that when those two teams meet at Miller Park for the first time this year, there's still going to be plenty of Cubs fans represented. There always are at Miller Park. Kudos for trying to keep Cubs fans out of Miller Park, but the Simpsons already did it, and it didn't work. Leave it.
Number seven.
From Lone Tree to the Power Five.
Todd, friend of the show, Steve Forbes, Lone Tree native, the coach at East Tennessee State University, located in Johnson City, Tennessee. The Buccaneers are on the verge of making the NCAA tournament for the second consecutive year. If you remember last year, we had Steve Forbes join the APC prior to their matchup against the Florida Gators. They lost four starters off of that team last year, yet Steve Forbes has them at 21-4 on the season and 12-0 in the SoCon. And I think at the end of this season, he is going to be up for many Power 5 jobs, whether it's the job at Pittsburgh. I know a lot of fans, a lot of Panther fans are already tired of the Kevin Stallings era. And I know a lot of Memphis fans are tired of the Tubby Smith era. And I think that name right there, Steve Forbes, is going to be atop the list. And it's somewhat of a redemption story after he was given a show cause being on Bruce Pearl's staff at Tennessee for apparently illegally hosting Aaron Kraft as a recruit at an off-campus barbecue when Kraft was a senior in high school. And that almost derailed a career of what it's turning out to be one of the brighter coaching candidates in college basketball. So a story of redemption, a local story, Eastern Iowa angle. Steve Forbes is going to be getting a big-time job here shortly for the work that he's done at ETSU.
Number eight.
Fake news. Literally.
We touched on this in hour number one. I'm going to leave this, but if you are just joining us, the Boston Herald had a story today that Tom Brady was not too happy to see Jimmy Garoppolo get the massive contract that he did yesterday from the San Francisco 49ers. And Brady was going to hold out of all Patriots off-season activities until he got a new contract and made more money than Garoppolo, who used to be his caddy in New England. This all was the genesis of a sports talk show in Boston on WEEI. A caller called in and pretended to be Tom Brady's agent and then followed up with an email pretending to be the same agent to a sports writer at the Boston Herald, and the sports writer then went and wrote the story. This is bad on a number of levels, especially when people are already having a hard time trusting what they see and read in the news, which bothers me to no end. And I know we've talked about that on the program before, but this never should have come to this. And I feel sorry for Tom Brady. I really do. I know there aren't a whole lot of people that are going to be feeling sorry for Tom Brady. He had absolutely nothing to do with this. It makes him look the way that a lot of people expect Tom Brady to look, aka petty, selfish, bad, only looking out for himself, and none of it was true. Gonna leave it.
Number 9.
USA Hockey, the biggest losers. Remember, these are Alex's, not mine.
The NHL decided that they weren't going to send their players to the Olympics in 2018. And the last two Olympics, whether it was in Sochi or Vancouver, it has been appointment television watching men's ice hockey in the Olympics. Whether it was the 2010 team that took Canada into overtime before Sidney Crosby ended the game with a goal, or whether it was the shootout where TJ Oshie shined against the Russians in 2014 in Sochi. I have seen bars packed at 6 in the morning to watch Olympic hockey. And the NHL decided that they were not going to send their players there. And the United States is the biggest loser in all of this, because they had a chance, a team with a legitimate chance to contend for a gold medal. The holdovers were going to be Patrick Kane and Phil Kessel and Joe Pavelski, but the infusion of the young, super talented player, whether it's Austin Matthews or Johnny Gaudreau or Dylan Larkin or Vinny Trocheck, Brandon Saad, Shane Gostisbehere, I can go on and on and on. This was a team that could have contended for a gold medal. Instead, we're going to see the backups and the AHL players in the Olympic tournament. So I love this. I hate this. But the USA Hockey is the biggest loser in the NHL not sending their players to Pyeongchang.
Number 10.
Sports is no place for protest.
I am going to love this. There has been so much talk of the sports realm not being the proper place for protests. And I mean, if you feel that way about one thing, you have to feel that way about another thing that falls into the same realm, right? So I'm going to absolutely love this. And I know I've said we weren't talking about the national anthem and the kneeling and the NFL and we're not. But if you feel that way, then you have to feel that way about all other types of protests and or political messages. And there may or may not have been somebody making a political statement at the Olympics, which is a sporting event. And I see people who I know were up in arms about the NFL and the players, and this is not the right moment, find another way to protest. I can't think of anything more innocent and wonderful than the Olympics. I don't think the Olympics are the time or place to make a political statement. And shame on the person who used the Olympics to make a political statement. So if you dislike one, you have to dislike the other, right? Otherwise, you're just a massive hypocrite. Leave it.
If you don't love it, leave it.
527, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. More on the way after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago. Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, Dupaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all Dupaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through Dupaco's online banking or app. Not a Dupaco member? Join today in branch or online at dupaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Alex, the text line says the last time that U.S. hockey won the gold medal was in 1980 with a bunch of college kids.
That is true.
That is
but
true.
I'd rather watch them do it with a bunch of NHL stars rather than a bunch of college kids, because that seems like it would be more of an accomplishment. Our best is better than your best.
I know where you're coming from, and I would actually rather watch high-level NHL players participating in hockey as well, but it ain't happening. Thanks a lot, Gary Bettman. Let's send things over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Matt Campbell and the Iowa State football program announced some big news today. Senior former walk-on quarterback Kyle Kemp has been granted a 6-year of eligibility by the NCAA. A release from the school explains the extra year is based on the totality of circumstances surrounding his transfer from Oregon State and Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. Campbell also announced that Kemp will finish his career on scholarship. The Iowa women would appear to have their swagger back now that they've won 3 in a row following an 80-76 victory over Penn State last night in Iowa City. Megan Gustafson continued her downright incredible season with 33 points, 14 rebounds, and a career-high 7 assists, while senior Chase Coley was good for a career-best 24. The Rough Riders are going to be traveling around this weekend. They've got a game tonight in Des Moines with the Buccaneers, and follow that with another one tomorrow night on the road with the Waterloo Blackhawks. We're going to be hopping off of 107.5 FM, the North Gym, around 5:50 today, because we've got a big girl-boy doubleheader between Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Jefferson. The boys' game should be getting started shortly after the conclusion of our show, at which time you'll be able to hear that broadcast on all 3 KGYM frequencies. Looking ahead to tomorrow, you can hear the Cyclone Men hosting Trey Young in Oklahoma beginning at noon on the main gym. That's going to be followed by the women hosting Oklahoma State at 6. We're also going to have the UNI men traveling to Drake at 2:30, and you can hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
All right, love it or leave it in the books. We get Bobby Legesse from the landof10.com coming up shortly. We'll talk a little Hawkeye basketball and football with him. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with us in the third and final hour tonight, the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We'll talk with Tyler Barnes. Back with more after this.
The most special gifts for her this Valentine's Day will be found at Siegel's Jewelry. Gifts like heart-shaped sterling and gold jewelry, 50% off. 24-karat gold overlay roses in most colors, normally $79, now just $39. For the perfect Valentine's Day gift, it's Siegel's Jewelry. One half block south of the Town & Country Shopping Center, or go online at diamonds4ever.com.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Whether it's a new garage or a kitchen remodel, you'll get 11% off on all of it. The bigger the project, the bigger the savings. There's no limit to how much you can save with 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through February 10th. 11% savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Winter Olympics are now officially underway in South Korea after today's opening ceremony in Pyeongchang. Athletes from North and South Korea march together in the Parade of Nations. In all, 92 countries are represented at the Games. The Cavaliers will play without their new acquisitions tonight in Atlanta against the Hawks. LeBron James.
It's my job to get these guys integrated as fast as possible. I know coaching staff and T-Lo is going to do it as well, but It's my job to get these guys on the same page with us, what we want to accomplish, what we want to do. So I look forward to getting them here.
Cleveland picked up four new players at the trade deadline. Jordan Clarkson, George Hill, Rodney Hood, and Larry Nance Jr. won't be available to play tonight. At 7 Eastern on ESPN, an NBA doubleheader, Clippers and Pistons in Blake Griffin's first game against his former team, followed by the Timberwolves and Bulls in Jimmy Butler's first game against his former team. From the NFL, the Lions will sign GM Bob Quinn to a 5-year contract extension that matches the length of new coach Matt Patricia's deal.
Hey, it's the Gouch. Join us Monday. I'll have my weekend observations, plus the funniest thing from the sports weekend, and Chris Sims will join us to tell us his 27th best quarterback in the NFL. That's Monday on the Dan Le Batard Show with me, Stu Gouch, on ESPN Radio.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word FIRE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text FIRE to 797979. Text FIRE to 797979.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
For Valentine's Day, I got my husband a 23andMe kit so he could discover more about himself through his DNA. He received over 75 detailed online reports about his health and ancestry, and he's fallen in love with himself in a whole new way, a genetic kind of way.
I am a Viking warrior.
Yeah, guess who discovered that his DNA is 18% Scandinavian?
This Valentine's Day, get 20% off your home DNA kit when you order today at 23andMe.com. Offer ends February 14th.
5:36, welcome back. You are in the middle of drive time, driven by Linder Tire. Check them out online, lindertire.com, or in person in one of their three Iowa stores, Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. Todd Brabelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn rolling on towards 7 o'clock tonight. We are going to lose you North Gym listeners, 107.5 FM, coming up in about 15 minutes for high school basketball. So 1600 AM or 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the way to catch us the rest of the way on out. Otherwise, you can download the podcast after the show is over tonight, kgymradio.com. Don't forget, vote in the poll question while you're there. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with us in hour number three tonight. We're going to chat with Tyler Barnes, the director of recruiting for the Iowa football program, now that the hay is in the barn, as Hayden Fry used to say. The 2018 recruiting class signed, sealed, and delivered. It's one of the many topics. Coincidentally, we're also going to be chatting with our next guest about Bobby Legesse, joining us from thelandof10.com. And before we get to football, Bobby, let's talk a little hoops. Were you as encouraged as I was to see Iowa not only play to Michigan State's level on Tuesday, but then after the game was over, those guys didn't seem like they were ready to pack it in. They're ready to play these final five regular season games out strong to the finish line.
Yeah, in a season that's gone away, the team, the players, and the fan base doesn't want, that was the way you want to see them handle it, where they face a top five team, maybe the team that's going to win the whole thing by the end of the year, play them basically shot for shot, and then kind of say afterwards, this is what we want to do the rest of the way. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend with Iowa and Ohio State, another one of those teams at the top of the Big Ten, because if they can put that kind of effort and game together for a second straight day, they'll have a shot at potentially knocking off another one of those teams at the top of the conference. They didn't get it done with Michigan State, but if they play like that again, they could have a good shot on Saturday.
Bobby, I think a lot of people were asking the question, where has that been all year? And I looked at one particular player, and that's Tyler Cook, and he's been good at times. He's been a little bit inconsistent, but how much of an X factor is that jump shot for Tyler Cook?
That's what he worked on in the offseason, to kind of expand his game beyond somebody who could just score around the bucket. Because Iowa kind of thought if they got him the ball near the basket last year, it was a guaranteed 2 points or a foul. They wanted him to be able to do more. And when he hits shots from the perimeter, and it doesn't have to be a shot from too far away, it opens up things for him a little bit to potentially drive to the basket. The team has to defend him in spots they typically think they have to, so that opens up things for the rest of the offense. When he's able to get his entire offensive repertoire going, it usually means a good thing's going to happen for Iowa on that offensive end.
Talking Hawkeye hoops and football in just a little bit with Bobby Legesse from theland10.com. What are your expectations for this team over the final five regular season games? They've got a tall task ahead of them tomorrow in Columbus. But again, like I said, it seems that they're ready to go down swinging.
They are. And, you know, I'm not looking at win losses for them for the rest of the way. I'm looking at what they can do that might be able to help them in the future. We just talked about Tyler Cook and his ability to shoot it from the perimeter. He can show that more consistently. That would be really good. At the same time, if anyone can step up on the perimeter next to Bohannon, that would go a long way to helping Iowa when it comes next year. Same thing with anything that shows up positively on the defensive side of the ball. It's little things like that is what I'm going to be looking for through these final five games. Something that you can see that you could pull up and say, they didn't do that for most of this year, but if they do that next season, it'll help the team, you know, potentially get back to the NCAA tournament and hit all those goals that they whiffed on this season.
And I think one of those players that has been a bright spot lately has been Cordell Pimsel and in his resurgence. What have you seen from him the last five games that maybe we didn't prior to that?
He seems more confident. He looks like the player he was for most of last season, where he's aggressive on offense. He knows where he's supposed to be to put himself in position to get a rebound, either on the offensive or defensive end. And I don't have any, you know, knowledge of this, but I also think he might be a little bit healthier. He's a kid who health is always a concern with him. So I think the combination of maybe being healthy and a little bit more confidence from him has him playing like he did for a large chunk of his freshman season.
What does Iowa need to do tomorrow against Ohio State to have a similar result that they got Tuesday night against Michigan State?
Bottle up that game from Tuesday and hopefully it travels with you. But so much for Iowa starts with defense. As long as they aren't basically just letting the other team's offense look like a layup line, they'll have a shot in the game because their offense is usually good enough to give them a puncher's chance. On the offensive side of the ball, they can't turn the ball over. Usually their turnovers combined with a bad stretch of defense usually creates a run where the team goes, you know, the opponent goes 10-0 or 12-2 on them and the game kind of gets away. The other thing I think they have to do is when one of those runs comes, because everybody has them in a game, you give up, you know, 8-0 the other way, Iowa can't pack it in. That was a problem in some Big Ten games where all of a sudden the team gives up a run, they're now trailing double digits. The next thing you know, it snowballs from there, and it's like 16 points at halftime. So if they can kind of do those three things, they should be able to find themselves with a chance, you know, later in the second half at Ohio State to maybe pull that upset.
Now, Bobby, I think that one of the consensus is that Chris Holtmann is one of the candidates for Big Ten Coach of the Year, and it might be his award to lose. Is Kata Bates-Diop a front runner for the Big Ten Player of the Year?
Man, I think you kind of have to put him, if not the front runner, one of the few guys that you're naming there. I mean, he is turned into a legitimate Big Ten star, and I don't think that's anything too many people, even on the Ohio State campus, expected for this season. He came in as a pretty good heralded recruit, and they expected some things out of him, but has kind of, you know, game kind of plateaued a little bit, and he's turned into kind of the Big Ten superstar that you need if you're going to have a shot to go after a Big Ten title, which is kind of what happened to Ohio State this year. They were supposed to be in a down year, and all of a sudden now, boom, some good coaching, you have a superstar develop, and now they're a team that most teams in this league don't want to play on any given night.
Bobby, let's turn our attention to football really quickly. Kirk Ferentz put the finishing touches on the 2016 recruiting class. As you look at some of the late additions that signed on the dotted line on what's now the late or final signing period for football, do you see any of those guys as a possible impact player, maybe not necessarily next year, but down the road for the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, Brenton Johnson, the four-star defensive back from Indianapolis, don't necessarily, I think, count for the late signings, but they didn't get announced until now. So that, I think those are the first two names you have to look at. But if you want to talk about anybody that, you know, committed or signed with Iowa in January or February, I think your best bet for somebody to develop into a potential long-term starter or a multi-year starter or something like that is Jaden McDonald, the linebacker out of Georgia. The kid has the athleticism Iowa wants to be able to play the Leo position to kind of guard slot receivers and tight ends. The kid's also aggressive and isn't afraid to put his head in a hole, which is what they need out of a linebacker spot, too, for them in the run game. So he looks like he fits the mold of everything Iowa wants out of that Leo linebacker spot. I don't know if he's ready to come in and compete for the starting jobs that are open right now this year, but give him a year or two, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's a name you hear the coaches bringing up to say on somebody who's coming on strong and might be in the position to earn a starting spot later in his career.
One of the interesting names to me is someone right under our nose in Sullen and Tyler Linderbaum, and I thought he was dominant on both sides of the football in high school. Do you think that they're kind of swaying one way or another on what position he might play, or do you think he's going to get looks on both sides of the football early on?
I think he's going to be a defensive tackle for him. He has the makeup of a, you know, three technique that you see in 4-3 defenses. Tommy Harris from Oklahoma and the Chicago Bears from about a decade ago is kind of one of the names that always first pops in my head. Not as a comp to him, but the same kind of impact he could potentially make. Tommy Harris was so much quicker than everyone else on the defensive line. It allowed him to get in the backfield really easily. His job was to penetrate. Tyler Linderbaum's biggest strength is his quickness and his athleticism. So if Iowa puts him at DT and lets him kind of become a playmaker from inside like that, that's a dynamic that not a lot of teams have outside of your traditional powers like Oklahoma or Ohio State on an annual basis. I think if you plant him at defensive tackle, give him a couple years to develop, grow a little bit bigger, I think he could have a really bright future for the Hawkeyes there.
Bobby Legesse, landat10.com. We appreciate it as always. Thanks, Bobby.
All right, it was my pleasure, guys.
Do a quick hit with Bobby because we've got Kyle Kemp, the man of the hour, the Iowa State quarterback who is set to return for a sixth season of eligibility. We're going to hear from him when we return after this. 5:46, more to come. The Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
When she says,
"Thanks, Valentine,"
she really means, "You didn't get it right, but I'm being nice." Well, this year, get a
"You're the best Valentine"
with Sweetopia handmade chocolates. These hand-painted artisan chocolates are almost as beautiful as her, and she'll think they're amazing. Come in and choose a ready-to-go box or customize your favorites at Sweetopia.
Best Valentine. Ever.
Sweetopia, inside Nubo City Market, 3rd Street, Southeast in Cedar Rapids.
5:47, welcome back in. Want to take a moment to tell you about LowTUSA.com, a website where you can go to find out more about Mantality and what they do to help men get their old lives back. Mantality is a men's health clinic located in North Liberty that treats men for low testosterone. And if hearing that makes your skin crawl or maybe you're giggling, I don't know, you could have a number of reactions to the term low testosterone. Well, stop laughing, stop being scared, and do a little research. Maybe you could be suffering from some of the effects that are caused by low testosterone, especially guys if you are 40 or older. This is right in their wheelhouse. Mentality has a 90% success rate of treating men successfully for low testosterone and getting them back on track to feeling like their old selves, 15, 20, 25 years younger, stuff like that. Fountain of Youth, real Ponce de Leon stuff. LowTUSA.com and Mentality. Happy to have them on board with us as a sponsor here on KGYM. 5:48, we promised that you would hear from Kyle Kempt, the quarterback who today found out he's coming back to the Cyclones next year. Not only that, Matt Campbell says he's going to be on scholarship next year. It wasn't up to Matt Campbell or Kyle Kempt. It was up to the NCAA. Today they said, yes, the circumstances dictate giving him another year of eligibility. Kyle Kempt met with the media in Ames today, this courtesy of our friends from CycloneFanatic.com.
Did you think you realistically had a shot at this?
Realistically, I mean, yeah, I actually did, to be honest, but at the same time, too, I wasn't sure at all. I think, though, as the process kind of went on, I felt more optimistic about it, so I felt like there was a good shot, though.
When did you start feeling good about, you know, like you said, optimistic, and why?
Maybe, I think, in January, just because a lot of things started to come together, and it just looked like there was a good shot of it happening. But then I wasn't sure still until I really got the final word of it.
When was that? When did you get the final word?
What was it? Not last week, but last Thursday, I think, was when I got the final word, yeah.
How did they, who was it that told you?
Coach Campbell called me and told me.
What did he say?
He told me I got cleared and I got the waiver and I was coming back.
Why do you think they didn't announce it then?
I don't know, just distraction to the team probably. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, we're going through our workouts right now. It's the off season, so it's not really a big deal, to be honest.
What were you doing when he called you?
Sitting in the training room with Akeem.
How has this kind of changed expectations for you? Because now, for the first time, you're going into a season as kind of looked at by many people as the guy.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just staying that same with the work ethic. Handling, you know, responsibility is different with the leadership responsibility. You know, I got to work harder than I've ever worked before. So, to be honest, like, I can't change much in certain aspects, but at the same time, I have to take, you know, a much bigger role in this team with leadership, and, you know, I've got to push myself to the limit.
What reps were you getting last spring? What kind of reps were you?
Backup, because Zeb was still hurt, and me and Jacob, I think, were the only two healthy quarterbacks at the time.
So it won't be.
And yeah, that was it.
So it'll be pretty similar this spring. It'll just be more, obviously, first team reps.
Yeah.
You're on scholarship now. How's that feel?
Feels great. No, it feels good just to kind of go from scholarships and go to walk-on and, you know, learn all those lessons I did, but to be back on it, you know, I'm thankful for it, and yeah, I think that's that, though.
How's this maybe change expectations for the team, too, because you look at, you know, offensively all the weapons you guys have coming back, it almost seemed like an experienced quarterback, if you wouldn't have been back, is kind of the big thing missing.
I just think, you know, expectation-wise, this is early in the season. Like, we don't really have expectations of the team. This is a brand new team. You know, what the media says is what it is. But for us, we've got to win these months right now and not worry about September, because, you know, that first game's a long ways away. And if we don't take care of our business now, then, you know, we're not going to be ready by the time we have to play. So for expectations, you know, me coming back, it is what it is. You know, I'm going to do my role in the offense and be the best I possibly can be with it. But I know we have some great guys coming back, a wide out, running back, and offensive line. So I'm really excited for all the pieces around us.
You said there were things you need to improve on. What have you kind of pinpointed as things that have got to get better at?
Deep ball accuracy. I know that was a big thing lacking in our offense, and that's on me. Just more so staying alive in the pocket a little better, being more decisive with the football sometimes. There's just a lot of things I need to really take care of. Red zone offense. I could just name 1,000 things where I'm not really happy with last season. But, you know, that's how we need to be, though. You know, the difference between us going 8-5 and, you know, coming back for another great year is not looking at what we did good last year, but looking at what we did bad and building off that.
How much to being hurt, strides? I guess.
Where did you make the biggest strides, though? I mean, because
– last year?
Yeah, because you'd only played you know, throwing two balls before last year, so I assume each game you kind of took a different
step. Yeah, I think I just felt more comfortable each game I was getting out there. I feel like, you know, even the bowl practices, like I got a lot of work that, you know, typically you weren't getting throughout the season because you're pretty much prepping for games each time. So I think it's just getting with those guys. We got a new set of receivers, you know, a lot of guys that played last year, but a lot of young guys that will help us too, and getting that timing down and just doing what the coaches ask us to do.
Can the offense, the gameplay, or the offensive, I guess, package and stuff evolve now that they can do stuff around you with a full offseason?
I mean, I guess, I think more so in the fact that we'll still have a lot of weapons on offense too, and we'll be able to, you know, I'll be able to get the ball to them. We'll be able to kind of do what the coaches ask, and that's, I mean, that's the coach's job. They'll come up with the best package for us to be successful.
How's your shoulder?
Great. 100% healthy, which has been nice.
How much did that maybe limit what you could do at certain points at the end of the season?
My shoulder?
Or just being hurt in general?
Well, the K-State game, it was kind of hindering, I think, some of my downfield throwing, and well, I was able to practice all the way through bowl practice, and I think now it's just the fact that I'm able to get back in the weight room and get my strength back is the biggest thing, and not have any hindrance in there either.
Are you still getting your degree in May, or where are you?
I'll graduate in the summer with a computer science degree.
What's your relationship like with Akeem? I think when it was still up in there, he tweeted something about 17.
It's phenomenal. 17. Me and him are really close, so I'm really excited to be back with him.
Kyle, you're a sixth-year senior in a room with three freshmen, a sophomore. How important is it for you to kind of be the mature leader of that group, I guess?
Really important because, you know, that's the leader. That's the future of this team. And as my role, it's really just, you know, I got to show these guys how to come to work every day, how to handle being a quarterback. You know, it's such a unique position because you have to be, you know, the guy that's always on time, the guy that's always doing the right thing, the guy that's always going to have credibility in that locker room because of what you do with your work ethic. So I think it's important because, you know, this will be my last season, and then, you know, we have a really bright future ahead of us with all those guys in there.
You said in Memphis that you thought a bowl win would propel the program. What have you seen in the first weeks of the winter workouts?
I think just the culture that we built last year, it's sustained, and then guys are picking up the expectations of what next year should be.
That was Kyle Kemp meeting with the media in Ames today, talking about the NCAA's decision to grant him a sixth year of eligibility. Turns out that we've known for a while, it just wasn't public until today. So the cat is out of the bag on that one. Sort of an anticlimactic lead-in to your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update, but Kyle is in the studio with us, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Matt Campbell and the Iowa State football program announced some big news today. Senior former walk-on quarterback Kyle Kemp has been granted a six-year of eligibility by the NCAA. A release from the school explains the extra year is based on the totality of circumstances surrounding his transfer from Oregon State and Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. Campbell also announced that Kemp will finish his career on scholarship. The Iowa women would appear to have their swagger back now that they've won three in a row following an 80-76 victory over Penn State last night in Iowa City. Megan Gustafson continued her downright incredible season with 33 points, 14 rebounds, and a career-high 7 assists, while senior Chase Coley was good for a career-best 24 points. The Rough Riders are going to be traveling around this weekend. They've got a game tonight in Des Moines with the Buccaneers, and follow that with another one on the road tomorrow night with the Waterloo Blackhawks. You're hearing us right now on either 106.3 FM, the South Gym, or 1600 AM, the Historic Main Gym, because we've got a girl-boy doubleheader between Cedar Rapids, Washington, and Jefferson. That's on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. The boys should be getting started shortly after our show's finished, at which point you can catch that broadcast on all three KGYM frequencies. Looking ahead to tomorrow, you can hear the Cyclone Men hosting Trae Young in Oklahoma beginning at noon on the main gym, followed by the women hosting Oklahoma State at 6. We'll also have the UNI men traveling to Drake at 2:30 on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
All right, that is going to do it for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire. Again, check them out online, lindertire.com. Savings of $40 or more on a new set of four tires. You can find that online-only coupon at lindertire.com. Visit them in person, Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. 2 hours down, one to go, and it is a big hour, literally and figuratively. The big hour brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We'll kick off with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, who's in the studio with me now, preparing to chat with Tyler Barnes, the director of recruiting for the Iowa football program. The Hawkeyes, as we just discussed a few minutes ago with Bobby Legesse, putting the finishing touches on the 2018 recruiting class. Get Tyler's opinion on what this process was like this year, the first time that they've gone through it with the early and late signing period, and his thoughts on some of the players that will be wearing Hawkeye uniforms moving forward. Plus, we'll probably talk a little Ohio State basketball as well in hour number three. It's all on the way after this. 106.3 FM and 1600 AM. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.